Well, let's pray and just prepare our hearts for the word. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Lord. It's always exactly what we need. And Father, I just trust you, Lord, to speak into the hearts and lives of your people tonight, Lord, and accomplish what you desire. That's my prayer, Lord. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. May you be glorified in it. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to talk to you about how to stay close to God. Now, that's the short title. I had to make it short enough to get it on a CD. So the long one is how to maintain an intimate fellowship with the Lord. Does that interest anybody? I hope so, because, you know, on Wednesday nights, I realize that we could have unbelievers and baby Christians on Wednesday night, and I hope they come. But I realize that a lot of you that come on Wednesday night, you're mature believers, and you want to grow in the Lord. You want to get into the deep things of God. You're not satisfied with this shallow experience, but you want more. Amen? Am I talking to anybody here? You want more? And I believe that this message is for you. I got one more thing to say, though, about a Wednesday night crowd. Do you realize that a lot of churches now, and especially even growing churches, don't have a Wednesday night service? Let me tell you how that happens. It's not because pastors are lazy. It's not because church leaders just say, oh, you know, we don't want to do that. It's because people get to the place where they don't care about it anymore. And when enough people get to that place, before long, the pastors and the leadership feel like they're just riding a dead horse. I'd rather be here tonight than any hospital in town. Well, sure, Pastor. I'd rather be here tonight than home watching TV. I don't care if the Super Bowl's playing tonight. I personally would rather be in the house of God, worshiping God and hearing His Word. Don't have Sunday night anymore. This is going to be ugly. You know how the first brick was pulled out of that? It's Super Bowl Sunday. Preacher's gone to meddling. I know I've just... Some of you going to tune me out. No, you listen to me. I'm telling you, if you like coming to church on Wednesday night, you need to invite people and encourage people to come on Wednesday night and be taught the Word of God and grow in their faith. None of this little dabble do you stuff. All out for God. Amen. Okay. I'm a little wound up. Can y'all tell? Well, here we go. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 15, and this is a psalm of David. Now, David was a great man of God. Anybody want to say amen to that? You know, people always want to talk about his mistakes, but David was a great man of God who had just a really intimate relationship with the Lord. And when you read the Psalms and you read the events of his life, how mightily God used him, but also you see it especially in the Psalms, how this closeness he had with God, and a praying man and a worshiping man. I mean, when we talk about praise and worship, David is such a great example, and the Psalms that he wrote are so fantastic. This is one of them. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? What is David really asking here? I mean, what does he mean by your tabernacle and your holy hill? How many of you have been to the tabernacle, the holy hill, lately? Listen, he's talking about the presence of God, being close to God, being in that intimate fellowship, the secret place with God. And he calls it your tabernacle, the holy hill. But that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that closeness with God. See, sometimes we read over these things and we think, oh, well, you know, that was back then. No, listen, you need to take it very personally. This is written for us. And the Holy Spirit, the message here that the Holy Spirit would communicate to us is that this is being close to God. This is being in His presence. This is experiencing Him in a very real way. So David is asking this question, who can abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill. Now, you know what? When you talk about being close to God, say, how can you be close to God? There's a whole lot of things that we could talk about. I mean, all through the Bible, all kinds of passages. I mean, we could start with John 3:16, that God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that we could have eternal life, that we could be forgiven, we could be with Him forever. You could go to Revelation 3:20, where Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. All passages, all through the Bible, we could talk about how to have a closeness and an intimacy with God. Could focus on prayer. We could focus on worship. By the way, we'll say it one more time. You want to talk about prayer? You want to talk about worship? David knew a lot about those things. He was a praying man and he was a worshiping man. But here in this passage, I believe that it's not just David that gives the answer to his own questions, but it's the Holy Spirit that inspired him and gave him the answers to his questions. How can I be in the place with you? How can I abide in your tabernacle? How can I stay in your presence, in your holy hill? How can I live there? How do you stay close to God? You know, if you ask that question today, you would say, Pastor, I mean, if you were to ask me, if you said, Pastor, how can you be close to God? How can you stay close to God? Well, I'd say, well, pray and read your Bible. That's a good start. That's a good answer. And if you're just born again and you just invited Jesus into your heart, I'd probably say, pray and read your Bible. Pray and read your Bible. That's a good start. That's a place to start. But I want to say it one more time. David received something from the Holy Spirit that is written down for us that we can learn from this passage how to really have that intimate fellowship with the Lord. I want to get this out of the way. This message is not about how to be born again. This is not a message about who's going to heaven, although we're going to touch on that. This is a message about how to maintain a closeness with the Lord. It's not a message about being forgiven, okay? This is not a message about being forgiven. This is a message about walking with God like Enoch did. So if all you're concerned about is, well, I want to be forgiven and go to heaven, well, you're probably not going to like this message. But if you want to be close to God, you want to learn how to walk with God like Enoch did, then I think we need to pay attention to what David has to say here. It's going to be a little different than maybe anything you've ever heard before. But I'm just telling you, I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you that this is fresh out of the oven. You know, bread fresh out of the oven is way better than bread off the shelf. I'm just saying, anyway. And I know this is a word from the Lord. And if you'll take hold of it, it'll teach you. It'll show you how you can maintain an intimate fellowship with the Lord. How can we stay close to God? How can we have that? Now, before we really get to what David says, I think it's really important that we expose some false teaching of the day. And y'all got to pray for me because I want to get through before 9 o'clock. But I want to do this first before we even get to this passage of Scripture. Because listen, there are a lot of people who think they're close to God because they're religious. Now, they wouldn't define themselves as religious. They'd say, oh, I know Jesus. I'm close to God. But listen to me. When I say religious, I'm not even saying they necessarily even go to church, but they have their own system of beliefs. It might be constantly changing as they muddle through life, and one day they believe this, and they decide they believe this now, and then they believe this now. But listen, they're still religious. They've got their own system of beliefs and their opinion about who God is and what He's like and how God works. And how to be close to Him. And you know, there's all kinds of forms of this and variations, but a lot of the time, it goes something like this. Well, you believe in Jesus, and then you're close to God, no matter what you do. I'm telling you, if you can't figure this out, some people are closer to God than others. Now, let's settle this. I'm not talking about being forgiven. I'm not talking about how you are made righteous. Righteousness is a free gift. But some people have an intimate fellowship with God, and some people don't really even know Him. But they got this own little religion that, well, as long as you believe in Jesus, you're close. You just pretend like He's right there. That's not what David said. No more pretending, right? Listen to what Jesus says about in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name, and we did wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Don't tell me it doesn't matter how you live or what you do. Can't be intimate with Jesus and live for the devil. So the scripture just kind of lays it out for us here, how you can maintain a close fellowship with God. What does it take? That's what David was asking. What does it take? Verse 2 says, he who walks uprightly. Now he's not talking about good posture, amen. He's talking about integrity. He's talking about that we are the same through and through, day after day, no matter what the situation, the circumstance, no matter which crowd we're with, we are the same. It's integrity. It's character. In the strictest sense, biblical integrity would be to believe the Word of God and live by what it says. Now, you notice I said biblical integrity. Biblical integrity. Because if you believe contrary to the Word of God, even though you live what you believe, it's sure not biblical integrity. If you're believing and living contrary to the Word of God, can you say amen? That's not biblical integrity. And if you believe right, you believe according to the Word of God, but you're not living it, that's certainly not biblical integrity either. Real integrity is believing and living what the Bible says. That's biblical integrity anyway. And I just want you to understand, it is not my place or any of our place to judge who is saved and who's not, who's going to heaven and who's not. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about to have an intimate, close fellowship with the Lord. You can't live in a way that's hypocrisy. You can't have that kind of breach in your spirit where your beliefs and your life don't line up with the Word of God. No, if you really want to be close to God, let's just look at what Jesus says. That'd be a good place to look, wouldn't it? Everybody likes to talk about Jesus being our friend. But I want to tell you something. To truly be His friend is not automatic. Just because you profess to believe in Him doesn't make you His friend. That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be kind of a good message for our culture today. Believe in Jesus and you're His friend. Well, that's not what the Bible says. How about we just go with what the Bible says? This is what Jesus says in John 15, 14 and 15. You are my friends just because you believe in me. No, that's not what He said. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What? Now, come on, Lord. If you're going to put conditions on this friendship, I just don't know how good of friends we're going to be. You're my friends if you do what I command you. Don't tell me that it doesn't take real integrity to be close to the Lord and to walk and talk with Him. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. See, Jesus had this intimacy with the disciples, but he makes it very clear that that intimacy was conditional upon them obeying him. And I'm telling you, in our generation, we see so many people who claim to know the Lord and yet just living like the devil and bringing reproach on the name of Christ. If you want to know him, you got to live a life of integrity. You want to be really close to him and live in an intimate fellowship with him, you got to live in integrity. Next he says, and works righteousness. This isn't referring to our right standing, our righteousness that is a gift from God. Notice he says, he works righteousness. Again, it's talking about how you live. So here's the second point, is you do what is right. We've all seen people doing wrong and think they're close to God. Some of them even do things wrong in his name. And Jesus told the disciples in John 16, 2, they'll put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming. Whoever kills you thinks he does a service for God. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, there are a lot of people in this world who think they're close to God, and yet they do evil things, and sometimes even in his name. Now, here's an important point about doing what's right. You got to do what's right in his eyes, not your own. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, that the end is death. You know, in the book of Judges, you see this pattern with the people of God, where over and over and over you see this, where there's rebellion, and then they have destruction, and then repentance, and then restoration, and then rebellion, and then destruction, and then repentance, and then restoration, over and over and over again. You know why? Because the Bible says this, Judges 21, 25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'm just telling you, a lot of times, this is a theme of our culture, the society that we live in. This is the morality of the day. Well, you do what's right for you. We have a king. And what we think is right better line up with what he says is right. Because it doesn't matter what you think is right. If it don't line up with his word, it's wrong. And I'm just telling you that if you want to really be close to him, you got to live in line with his word. You got to do what is right. Enough of this hypocrisy and phony Christianity where people claim to be close to Jesus, but they're not even living right. And speaks the truth in his heart. Now, this has to do with our thought patterns. It's not talking about you what you say here. We'll get to that later, but it's talking about in your heart. Speaks the truth in his heart. In other words, that our thoughts and attitudes are true. Here's the point. We don't deal with people deceptively. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. In other words, he's being deceptive. And the principle here is that we have to be the same. It goes back to that integrity, the same through and through. We don't deceive people. We walk in truth from the heart. How do you speak the truth in your heart? Well, I'll tell you, the best way is to put God's word down in your heart. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. You keep your heart with all diligence. The NIV says, guard your heart. In other words, you don't let junk get down in your heart because you want to keep the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart in truth. Speak the truth in your heart. You know, I've mentioned this word a couple of times already. But here's the picture of hypocrisy. To say one thing and act one way on the outside, but on the inside to be something different. And I tell you, if we're going to speak the truth in our heart, we got to get the Word of God down in our heart, and that determines our thoughts and attitudes. Now listen, how close to God, how intimate can you be with Him if there's duplicity and deception in your life? We serve a God who is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And are you walking in deception and duplicity? How close can you walk with Him? Now listen, I know some of you are thinking, well, yeah, but God forgives me. Listen, I know He forgives you. Of course He forgives you. He's so merciful and so forgiving, and I preach that. But I'm talking about how you can walk with God like Enoch, how you can have an intimacy like David did instead of this surface, superficial Christianity that so many people settle for. You want to have a real intimacy, a real fellowship with God that you live in every day? You got to get the duplicity out of your life. Don't deal with people deceptively, but be real. Verse 3. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. The NIV says it this way, and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong. By the way, I'm sure that that covers inaction also, but in the context here, I think it's saying the same thing really three times. Does his neighbor no wrong with his mouth, and he casts no slur on his fellow man. We don't talk bad about people. Some people think they're close to God, and they go around trashing out other people, gossiping and saying terrible things about people. It amazes me. Just happened to read an article today about a certain group. These are believers, and they think it's their job to go around and criticize all the ministries and all the churches that are doing anything for God. They don't bother with the ones that are just dying away, but anybody that's reaching anybody and doing anything for God, they critique them and try to find anything wrong with them and try to find fault with them. And they think they're doing God a service. And so many believers, you see, we think, oh, that's terrible. But so many believers do the same thing when they start talking about somebody else that they work with or they go to church with or they know. And here's what the Bible says. David says, you want to be, who can have that intimacy? Who's going to be the one in the holy hill? The one who doesn't talk about his neighbor, doesn't slur people, doesn't say bad things about people. Let me tell you something. Our Father doesn't like it. Especially when you're talking about your brother and sister in the Lord. Listen, those are His sons and daughters, and He doesn't like it. How do you like it when somebody talks about your kid? I'm telling you, He doesn't like it. How close can you be to God if you're always railing on His sons and daughters? You want an intimate fellowship with Him? You don't talk bad about people because He don't want to hear it. You know what? I'm not even very spiritual. I'm not very holy sometimes, but I don't even want to hear that puke. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear somebody just ragging on other people and saying bad things about other people. And you know what? I'm either going to tell them to be quiet or I'm going to get away from them. You think your Heavenly Father wants to hear that stuff? You want to be close to Him and walk in intimate fellowship with Him like Enoch did? Close your mouth and don't you say anything about other people. You can pray for them, but you don't talk bad about them. Now, there's about 400 verses we could bring into this, but I'm just going to bring a couple. Listen, it is one of the seven things that God hates, that is an abomination to Him. Proverbs 6 and 19 is, "He who sows discord among the brethren." And when you start talking bad about people to other people, that's what you're doing. You're sowing little seeds of discord against that person. You're separating. You know, the Bible says a whisper can separate even close friends. And you don't do that. Listen, it's an abomination to God. How close and intimate can you be with the Lord if you're doing things that are an abomination? So what's that? It's really bad. It's an abomination. He can't stand it. And yet, it is probably the most predominant sin in the body of Christ today. People, remember we said at the beginning, religious people think they're close to God when they're not. They're self-deceived. James 1:26, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, his religion is useless." Could the word be any clearer and hit us between the eyes any more straight on? He says, you deceive your own heart. Who? The one who doesn't bridle his tongue. You deceive your own heart, and your religion is useless. Wow. I'm just telling you, you want to walk in intimate fellowship? You can't be talking about people. Here's the next phrase. "In whose eyes a vile person is despised." What? Yeah. You'll walk in real intimate fellowship with the Lord. In your eyes, a wicked, a vile person is despised. Now, I want you to understand the spirit of what's being said here. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to hate on people. Oh, I can't stand them. That's not what the scripture is saying here. It is, by despised, it means that you give a vile person, a wicked person, an ungodly person, you give them no honor, no respect. I don't care how successful they are. I don't care how many millions they've made. I don't care how talented they are. I don't care how famous they are, what gifted an athlete they are. I have no respect at all for an ungodly person who rejects my Lord. They reject my Lord and live in an ungodly lifestyle. I don't have any esteem for them. I have no honor for them, no respect for them. It's a sin. It's a reproach against the Lord to have regard and honor for such people. That's a worldly idea. And I've seen it in the church, where the church even wants to honor famous people just because they're famous, even though they're ungodly. No. You want to walk close to the Lord? Listen, let me tell you how this translates down. I love Him and honor Him more than anything else. And if somebody else disrespects Him, I have no respect for them. It's as simple as that. They use my Lord's name in vain. I have no respect for them. I'm not going to hate on them. I'm not going to treat them bad. The Bible says we're to love our enemies, but I have no regard for them at all. I get a little fired up about this stuff. I know where it's coming from, though, I'm telling you. But you show no regard for those who are doing wrong. 2 Corinthians 6:14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" By the way, that's New Testament. Now, we know that Jesus was accused of being the friend of sinners in church. We got to reach out to people. We got to love people and try to help people. But you need to be careful about who you regard and who you respect. And listen, who you hook up with in business or in a relationship, who you get involved with, because the Bible says very plainly, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship do righteousness and unrighteousness have in common? What is there in common between light and darkness? Nothing. And so, church, we need to be careful about those that we esteem and those that we involve ourselves with. See, who would the Lord allow in intimate fellowship with Him in His holy hill? The one who honors those who fear the Lord. We honor those who show respect and reverence for the Lord. Let me just reverse it. I don't care how much money they've made, how good looking they are, how successful, how talented. You show me the person who walks in fear, who walks in reverence and respect of the Lord in the way they live their life and the way they conduct themselves and their conversation. I am going to honor that person. Church, listen. We need this in the body of Christ, that we honor those who fear the Lord. Doesn't have anything to do with personality. Listen, it's those who fear the Lord. We honor such people. Some lukewarm believers even make fun of those who are really committed to the Lord. I think that grieves the Lord. He's already grieved with the lukewarm. He says, I'm about to spew them out of my mouth. And how sickening it must be to the Lord when believers, when Christians make fun of other believers because they are on fire for God. And I'm telling you, we should honor such people. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Plain and simple, we keep our word. Remember this, God always keeps His word. Now, none of us is perfect, amen? Anybody ever told a lie? Okay, three hands. The rest of y'all just lied right now. Just saying. I was too quick for you, right? Okay, you weren't lying. Y'all were just slow. All right. I want to tell you something. You have lied, but guess what? You can still be close to God. You know how I know that? Abraham was the friend of God. And I see in the Bible where he lied at least twice. But you see, some people would take that and say, well, it's just okay to lie. The Bible says that liars are friars. It says that liars will go to the lake of fire. By the way, I'll just throw some of you off tonight. The Bible doesn't say you're going to spend eternity in hell if they don't know Jesus. It says that they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Well, you just go study it out. It's in there. The devil and everybody who doesn't receive Jesus is going to end up in the lake of fire. That's what we also say, if you fake, you bake in the lake. But anyway, listen, here's the deal. Yes, you may have told a lie before. God forgives. You can still be close to God, but you can't live a life of a liar going around lying all the time and think you're close to God. That's deception. He is a God of truth. Do you know, He always keeps His word. And if you're going to walk with Him, you need to keep your word. Swear to your own hurt and do not change. Now, if you were really going to do that, then you'd be a little bit more careful about what you said. Amen? By the way, we don't swear at all because our yes is our yes, our no is our no. If you said it, you keep it. Just give you a couple of statistics real quick, show you how much lying is a part of our culture. 31% of people admit to lying on their resumes. Well, I think some of them are lying on the statistic. I'm just saying, because I've read too many resumes. I've read too many preachers' resumes. It's amazing how people get carried away, evangelistically speaking. To hear these guys read their resumes and how successful they are, you think, well, why in the world would you ever be looking for another position? Because your church has grown 10 times what it was. Why are you going somewhere else? There's a lot of liars out there. Percent of people who lie at least once in a 10-minute conversation, 60%. Really? Average number of lies per day that men tell to their partner, boss, colleagues, 60%. Now, this was interesting. With women, it was half of that. I'm like, really? Women are more honest? But then I read the statistic that 80% of women regularly tell what they call half-truths, like little white lies, you know, that's what they call them. So, listen, it gets us all, in this culture we live in, people tell lies all the time, like it's nothing. I mean, you want to walk with the holy God who always keeps His word? I'm telling you, you keep your word. You swear to your own hurt and don't go back on it, no matter what. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. I put these two together. They're really talking about the same principle, that we don't take advantage of people. You want to walk with God? You don't take advantage of people. See, in this world, everybody's trying to get the best of one another. They call it good business. You come out on top. You know, the Bible even talks about the guy who, he buys something. Well, let me put it in modern terms. He goes to buy something, to buy a car. Well, we've all experienced it out on the car lot, right? You take your car in. You're going to trade it in. They say, man, sorry, we can't give you much on this piece of junk you're driving. No wonder you want to turn it in. Well, we'll give you $800. That's all we can do. Well, they kind of clean it up and spit shine a little bit, put it out on the lot for $2,300. That's just good business. But I'm telling you, there's a whole lot in this world that goes on where people are trying to get an advantage and take advantage of people, and especially when they're down. And so this isn't talking about, when it says you don't put your money to usury, it's not talking about that you can't make investments or you can't put your money in an interest-bearing account. It's talking about when somebody in need and desperation comes to you and you lend them money, it is a sin for you to turn their need into an opportunity for your profit. That's not pleasing to the Lord. I'm talking about how to be close to God, walk in a daily fellowship with Him. Oh, Pastor, this is so much to put on us. Let's just say we just believe in Jesus and we're automatically close as we can be. Really? Is that really? Come on, church, we know better than that. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Yeah. He loves you. You've been washed in the blood, and you mess up 400 times a day. We're still washed in the blood. Thank God. Amen. He forgives. Every time you confess your sin, He's faithful and just. But listen, you want to really have that intimacy, that close fellowship with Him who can stay, abide in His tabernacle? One who doesn't take advantage of people. Don't ever put money over principles or people. I'm talking about Bible principles. Don't ever put money over principle or people. You see it every day in our land. And it harms innocent people. Think about this. Think about our politicians today. Talk about taking a bribe. Oh, well, if they find out about that, they'd be put out of office. Fat chance. But let me tell you how almost all of them take a bribe. Those who have the money to back them and put them in office own them, to the harm of innocent people. Just saying. And I'm telling you, church, that if you will really walk with God, that money doesn't determine how you treat people and your dealings with people. It doesn't you can't let money ever be more important to you than people. If you treat people right, don't ever do someone harm or do someone wrong because of money. Anybody agree with that? You know what? I don't think this list is all-inclusive. I gave you 8 things, and I don't think it's all-inclusive. And I realize that this is probably the weirdest message you've ever heard on how to have fellowship with God. But David asked the question, and I believe the Holy Spirit gave him the answers, and I believe these 8 things. Go back, and you read over this chapter again and meditate on it, and you think about it in your own life, and you begin to walk in this, and I'll tell you, I believe you'll experience a greater intimacy with the Lord. We're serving a holy God. I think this is a timely word for our generation to show us how to live in an intimate fellowship with a holy God who says in the New Testament, in Peter, be holy, for I am holy. I think it reveals to us a lot of the pitfalls and deceptions that have kept people back from being as close as they want to be with God. See, I think a lot of people really do want to be closer to God. They want that intimacy. They want that fellowship with Him. But sometimes the deceptions and the philosophies and the religion of the day has blinded people, kept people back. But the truth, if you walk in truth, it sets free. Amen. This is the truth. And here's the promise. He who does these things shall never be moved. Now, you know, the common interpretation of that is that if you live by these principles, then you're going to stand through every test and trial. You're going to come out victoriously. And I certainly believe that. But if you live right, you live in this kind of fellowship with God, yeah, I believe you're going to come outstanding no matter what comes your way. But I believe there's something much grander here, much more awesome, that when He says, if you do these things, you will never be moved. I believe He's talking about what He started off talking about. That you'll be in that tabernacle of the Lord. You'll be in the holy hill of the Lord, and nothing's going to move you. Nothing will be able to get you out of that closeness, that intimacy with God. What a place to be. In the hill of the Lord. The tabernacle of God. And that closeness with Him. And I just challenge you tonight. Take this word, Psalms 15. Go over it. Meditate it. Let it become a part of you. Get these principles down in your life. Here's the greatest thing that someone could say about us if we were to pass from this life before the Lord returns. They were really close to God. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, if the Lord tarries another 75 years or so, and I pass away. Hey, 130, 129, that's not bad. I think it would be so awesome if that was on my tombstone. He was really close to God. Or like Enoch, he walked with God. What could be better than that to say about your life? I want to tell you, it's not automatic. It doesn't happen to everybody. And there are some you can tell they're close to God. If you want that, I just encourage you, go after it. Psalms 15. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word to us. And I thank You, Lord, for people who love You, people who are hungry, Lord, and people who are open and receptive to Your word and the work of the Spirit in their heart and their life. And I just pray, Father, tonight that You just cause that fire to burn in us, Oh, Father, that all the lukewarmness be gone from us, Lord, that we'll be a people who are on fire for God, going after God with all that we are, pursuing after you, Lord. And Father, I just pray that these simple principles from your word, Lord, would take root in our heart, that we'll truly live this way in a way that's pleasing to you, that we can find ourselves walking step in step with you, Father, walking with God. That's my prayer, Father. That's my prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want you to take just a moment before you walk out and just in your own way, talk to God for a minute. And just let the Holy Spirit deal with you. And if you need to make a commitment to God, if you need to confess something to the Lord, if you need a change of heart this evening, just let God do that in your life. He loves you. Listen, this is what He wants with you. This is what He wants. Closeness, intimacy, fellowship. And He has paved the way by the blood of Jesus. Don't disrespect the blood of Jesus by ignoring the principles of His word, by ignoring His holiness. So we're going to stand here in the presence of the Lord for just a minute. I just want you to just pray, just worship and pray, and be willing to let God have His way.